Monday, August the 24th, and you're listening to the Three Nerds in a Basement podcast. I'm Vince.
I'm Blaven.
I'm Anthony.
This is the Geek Chic Culture Show. We talk about all the cool things in the world. Full house, not really full house tonight.
Missing our producer.
Yep.
Our main monetary provider.
And key, and also our key grip.
Our key grip. You guys are so dumb.
What does a key grip do?
Yeah, I don't get it.
It's too long. Forget
it. Do I grip keys?
You should have just said something like our boom mic.
Our boom mic?
Yeah, but... Yeah. It's another week of excellent adventures and stuff. We'll regale you with stories and whatnot. But no big review this week. Nothing on the cards.
On the docket.
It's pretty chill, man.
Unless you guys had something.
We're just kind of being one with ourselves, right?
No. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Just kind of really? Hang out. Listen to some cool jams, you know?
How are you guys?
I'm good.
Yeah, you guys
pretty
good?
Pretty chill, bro.
Okay, this is getting annoying.
Yeah, this is not cool. Not cool. Don't set a bad example for the kids.
What, to be just a hippie stoner?
Yeah. Don't. Okay?
Let's not go there.
These are fresh minds.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm good.
Good. That's good to hear. Let's just move into our picks of the week.
Do it.
I'm going to open up. Mine's simple. Mine's easy. If you follow us on the Facebook page at facebook.com/threenerdsinbasement, mm-hmm. You'll notice I posted a picture.
Of a robot lady.
Of a Gundam.
What?
That's a very special Gundam.
A very special.
Is that an actual Gundam?
That's a Gundam.
That someone pilots? Or someone is the Gundam?
Technically someone pilots it.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. So...
And technically someone is the Gundam too?
Yeah, it's also modeled after a character in the show.
Okay.
And, I love Build Fighters.
All right.
In the final episode of Build Fighters,
all right,
they had a modeling competition, okay?
Mm-hmm.
In the universe.
Yeah.
And it was basically just an excuse for Bandai to show off all these neat designs that they couldn't use in the show
mm-hmm.
or throughout the story. One of the designs took everybody off guard.
Wait, have you not seen this yet?
No. I've seen the figure. I haven't watched the Build Fighters.
So one of the top modelers actually has a crush on this girl from a rival team.
All right.
And his crush is so great that he shows up to the modeling competition with this Gundam that he built inspired by
her. Yep.
And it's literally her in a maid costume with GM parts.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yes.
That's awesome.
And when it first came on the screen, the first thing I thought was, I will buy the hell of that if it's ever made.
And you're like,
and,
nah.
And Bandai was kind of iffy. They're like, it was a joke. We don't really know. But I guess the fan outpouring was so huge, they finally revealed that Super Fumina is a real Gundam you'll be able to buy this November.
That's hilarious. So soon!
Yeah, and I was just like, I'm so happy.
How many do you need?
I think I need, like, at least three, maybe five. Depends on the colors I want to do.
You want, like, the Stormtrooper army of Fuminas?
Oh, that would be great!
Just get, like, 20.
Yeah, from the pictures they show, they don't have any, like, other Gundams beside it, but it looks like it's bigger than your standard high grade.
Okay.
It's going to be about 1,800 yen, so after normal Japanese discounts and stuff, you're looking at, like, 14 bucks.
All right, just cancel some pre-orders to just shove all that money into.
Well, it comes around Christmas, so, you know, guys, Santa, secret stocking stuffers, I'm going to give you all Fuminas.
You know, like, part of me thinks you're joking. But the other part of me is like, no, it's going to happen. We're just, happy Merry Christmas, Fuminas. Oh, you were for real.
Yeah, and you're all going to secretly love it.
Oh, I'll love it. I just would never buy it with my own money.
No, the thing is, like, what I'm going to do, though, is I'm going to open up each one, and then on, like, the chest plate, I'm going to sign it for you, like, with paint.
No, oh,
then give it to you.
I'll just paint over it.
Because you're going to paint.
I'll do it.
Yeah. But no, it's the greatest Gundam. Gundam to end all Gundams. After this, I think Gundam collecting will be pointless. I just don't see why it should continue.
I would say that's like not gonna happen.
But... You're right. Perfect Grade Super Fumina still needs to happen. You're right.
With full LED kit.
Yeah. So in the show, something that the modeler explicitly says is, I even custom model it so that her stomach is made of softer, squishier resin.
Yeah. Yeah.
And right. So the current meaning currently is like, I wonder if Bandai did it.
It has softer, squishier resin. Does the crush see this robot in the show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And is she immediately freaked out?
Okay. So it's built by Japan's West Coast top builder.
All right.
And our heroes are the East Coast
best builder. Oh, okay.
And so she's part of the East Coast, like, battling. Like, she's the team captain, essentially.
Oh, okay.
And at the final episode, it's a model competition between just the two of them.
Yeah.
The two big builders, because they're huge rivals.
Mm-hmm.
And so he shows up with this at the, like, the biggest model competition in the world. And she just flips out and is super embarrassed.
That's hilarious.
And then it goes in, like, for some reason, a battle breaks out, and he has to use it in battle.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
She ends up, like, fighting against it or with it, and she's just like,
"This is the best Gundam ever."
She hates it.
No.
She hates it. She can't focus. And she's like,
the thing was is that throughout the whole episode, people were pointing at her, and she doesn't know why.
Oh, okay.
They're like, "Oh, it's her," and they're like, "Oh, I would be so embarrassed." And she's like, "What's going on?"
Yeah.
And then the rival dude's like, after they announce the winner, they're like, he comes up to the stage. He's like, "Why didn't mine win?" And they're like, "You know why it didn't win?" He's like, "No, seriously, why didn't it win?" He's like, "Check this out," and then he shows everything, and it's like, look at her. You didn't even ask her for permission, did you? She's like, no. But why do I need to ask permission for a labor of love? And of course, the main character is just like, oh, hey, it's you. And everybody else is like visibly mortified.
Yeah. And then the main character is like, whatever.
Yeah. It's pretty funny.
So, like, just to add further background. So, you know, as we were watching the show, we talked about this other Gundam called the Trion 3. He looked like the Gal Gaigar.
Okay.
Like, he combined together.
Yeah.
Yep.
Did you see that one?
I think so.
Those were the best battles.
I remember some sort of combining one.
Yeah, like a super robot style. He's the builder for that.
Oh, okay.
The guy who made the Gal Gaigar robot made this girl robot. It's
two extremes?
Yeah.
All right.
He was the best character on the show. He made, like, all the best robots.
Apparently.
Yeah. But there you go. There's your Gunpla fix for the week.
Cool.
Blavin, regale us with a story.
So, this December, there's going to be a movie that we're all going to watch.
What is it?
Star Wars.
Never heard of it.
No.
No. Can you tell me about it?
I like Star Wars.
Yeah, me too. Do you like the old ones or the new ones?
I like them all.
Star Wars is okay.
Is it not as good as Star Trek?
I really like Jar Jar Binks. He's a good character.
Oh, here we go. He's trying to troll everyone.
Yeah, I can't tell if you actually are trolling or...
It's okay.
Because...
I don't hate him.
I would actually believe you.
I don't hate him.
Just because you are that guy.
He's fine.
I know that Anthony loves the Jawa.
Who's the sand people. Oh, the sand people? They're pretty good.
They'll be back in greater numbers.
Nice.
And in greater numbers. Nice. But yeah, so they had a picture of Luke Skywalker in the new film, and it's just Mark Hamill older.
I hope so. That's what happens with time.
Yeah.
People get old.
Yeah, yeah.
But is he in a clothes?
He's like in a Jedi robe with a belt and everything, so it seems like the Jedi's are back to being baller status.
So he looks like Obi-Wan?
Yeah, yeah, kind of.
Does he have the facial hair?
Yeah, he has a ton of facial hair.
What the hell?
Yo, baller status. I can't wait for this movie. I can't wait. I need more lightsabers in my life.
Yeah, no, it looks good. It looks good.
I've been watching a lot of Star Trek on Netflix.
Like...
Next Generation?
OG?
No, not like William Shatner. The one with the bald guy.
Next Gen?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I just said.
Yeah, that's it.
Make it so, bro.
Yeah, that one.
Number one.
Yeah. And, yeah. That's been pretty good.
Yeah, you actually like it?
Yeah. I'm not going to say I like it better than Star Wars. I haven't watched enough.
Yeah. Is that we'll Data?
Yes.
The robot, the android?
And there's the guy who's
the visor?
Who's a rookie, but he has to prove himself to the captain. So he has to, like, manually dock when they separate the ship from each other, like the bottom half from the top half.
Okay.
And he has to, like, manually do it. I forget his name. Striker? Riker?
Oh, yeah. That's the guy who becomes... Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy's cool.
Does he have facial hair?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the one who always has to, like, whenever he sits down, he puts his leg over it instead of... Because he's so tall.
Yeah, yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
He's pretty cool.
I don't know if it's cool, but it's just...
No, he's a cool character. Like that itself is a thing, but like he's a cool character. Yeah.
Yeah. No. I love Next Gen.
I think a lot of people do. They always go with Kirk or Picard.
I don't know what that means.
Kirk is Captain Kirk the first one, and Picard is the one. You're watching the show, but you don't know his name?
I forgot.
You don't know Captain Picard?
Which one's the bald one?
Picard.
Okay.
Wow. Are you actually watching the show, or is this like, it's in the background, but I'm watching it, guys?
I'm watching it.
Okay, so you're not watching it.
I'm playing Diablo 3 as well.
All right.
Understood.
But you don't like Star Trek better than Star Wars?
I can't say yet.
All right.
I haven't watched Star Wars movies in a long time, and I still haven't watched Episode 3, so.
Okay. Okay.
But that's like the best one.
I have the high ground!
Is that the one where they're fighting in the lava? Yeah. Oh, okay.
Anakin, don't be stupid!
You underestimate my power!
Super Saiyan? What's going on?
This.
And then he gets fucking... because of, he just cuts his legs and hands off.
He becomes a torso, and then Darth Vader happens?
Yeah, and we're like, man, he actually told you. Like, actual.
And then Padme cries to death. And then,
yes. This is true fact.
Really?
Yeah!
Man, I gotta watch episode 3.
Well, she has a baby, and then she cries to death, yeah.
Yeah. Those are the funniest.
Okay.
And that's how it ends.
Wow.
No, it ends with Darth Vader strangling everyone around him, like, no.
Oh, that's true. He's like,
that's pretty funny.
Anthony, what's your pick of the week?
My pick of the week is like the opposite of your two. It's kind of long and complicated.
Ugh.
It's about a new investment company called Fig.
Okay.
So you guys know what Kickstarter is.
Sure.
You can pay a bunch of money to back a game.
Mm.
So Fig is a company that is founded by Justin Bailey. He's the former CEO or COO of Double Fine.
Okay.
They make games like Costume Quest and Brutal Legend and Psychonauts and stuff. He has started a company called Fig, where you are actually able to, if you are like legally allowed to invest in video games.
Okay.
And you can get dividends based on your investments, depending on how well the product does.
Mm-hmm.
So how it works is that so the people who are eligible to invest are the people who are eligible to invest privately anyways. So you either have to have a net worth of $1 million, not including your primary home, a total income of $200,000 over the past 2 years, or a combined income of $300,000. So you got to be fairly
well off
to be able to do this anyways. Also, the minimum investment for a game in this... that's the other thing. Fig is strictly video game exclusive.
Okay.
Yeah. And then how it works for people pitching games is there's an advisory board. The advisory board is made up of Tim Schafer, who is the founder of Double Fine, Brian Fargo, who works for a company called In Exile.
Okay.
They made some games that I never heard of. Fergus Urquhart. Urquhart. He works for Obsidian, so they made KOTOR 2, Fallout New Vegas. And then Aaron Isakson, who made a game called Neverending Nightmares.
All right.
So they're the curators, and what happens is that you as a developer pitch your game to the advisory board. If the advisory board thinks that it is a good enough idea or it has, or it's just good enough to be invested in, they'll push it to the website. And then you can have people investing in your game. All
right.
And the other thing is, investors do not really invest in the game or the series themselves. They just invest in the shares of that single product. So just because you've bought shares in, say there was a game called, I don't know, Wasteland 5, right? You don't have any rights or privileges to gain money from a sequel. And you don't own any of that IP, so you can't, like, hold it to you. You just have it for that one portion, and then the creator is free to do whatever they want with their IP.
So it's just business.
Yeah, it's just business, right? But the developer keeps all the creative control.
Again, it's just business then.
Okay.
Right?
I'm just explaining out the rules.
Because, like, that's...
Is that just how it is?
That's how business works, you know? Like, you buy shares for a company. You don't have any creative say.
Okay.
And dividends aren't a guarantee.
Yeah.
They're just...
It's a gamble, I guess.
Yeah. It's like, okay, so look at it this way. Instead of going to the bank for a loan, they just have people sinking funds in.
Yeah, yeah.
And technically, they own a part of your company, but as long as you still have the majority stake, it doesn't really matter.
Doesn't matter, yeah.
And as long as you're using your assets and you're like they're using their money to build this game, they don't owe you any dividends. That's the thing.
Oh, okay.
The one thing that I don't really know is these are all private companies, right? Like they're not gonna be public.
No, they're not gonna be public. So they're gonna make a bunch of limited liability corporations.
Exactly.
Per game.
I know when it's private, you have a like it's very, very much in the IP holder or the the business's advantage versus the investor or the whatever. Yeah. I mean, it's, I guess to me, it just sounds like it's just a regular business model where people, instead of you going out looking for investors, you go to Dragon's Den and they're like, all right, here we go.
Yeah.
Dragon's Den for video games.
And then it's, I think just having it in a public eye makes it more noticeable for investors, like people who don't have the knowledge or I guess the skills, like say you are financially able to invest, but you just don't know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like having kind of this like user interface almost is, will get like certain games to the forefront rather than privately investing and stuff.
I don't think this is going to succeed.
You don't think so?
No.
Okay.
Because it sounds like this is for like a lot of small startup companies and people with that kind of money to do regular investing, like, I don't know if they... It's not that they don't have interest, but I don't know if they'll have the knowledge to care enough about these small things to want to do it, right?
Yeah.
Like, most people only make investments because it's a smart decision because they have the background knowledge behind it, but when it comes to video games, especially, like, these indie games, it's too...
Too niche.
Yeah, like, I don't know if there's any real advantage there.
Okay. Yeah, there was also something in the article... Like, the article had a lot of information coming at me, so... I don't think I grasped the whole thing, but there was something about a new investing regulation coming into law where it allows people with less income to be able to invest in smaller amounts. So it kind of takes off that cap of when you can invest and when you cannot. I just don't know when that's going to become in effect. And I heard setting up those regulations or setting up an investment with those lower income regulations costs more. So we'll see how it works, I guess.
Yeah, but that's America only,
right? Yeah, this is America only.
Yeah.
Yeah, these all these numbers are in USDs, so.
Something on a slightly related note I saw on Kickstarter was, I think this is the Smithsonian had a Kickstarter.
Oh, really?
To preserve, is it Neil Armstrong?
Okay.
To preserve his spacesuit that went to the moon.
Oh, cool.
Okay, which is weird. That they have to start a Kickstarter to do this. They just can't do it themselves.
Yeah.
Anyways, it's like $700,000. But, and I thought this was kind of super clever, to entice big people, like the rich, to support them, at the $10,000 mark,
yeah,
it says like $10,000, you get all the rewards, blah, 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 blah. But $9,981 of this donation is tax deductible.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess because it's like a public thing.
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah.
And so also, and then when you look down, everything from their $2,500 to $10,000 mark are all tax deductible.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, that's genius. Because then you just have a whole bunch of people like, well, yeah, if I can lower my taxes.
Yeah, like I'm donating, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And whatever. And like, it's like a surefire, easy way. Like, I don't have to do like other sorts of
I guess that reports. Has to do with the Smithsonian being a public museum.
Yeah. Like,
that's cool.
Yeah, but I'm like, I still think it's baffling that the Smithsonian don't have the money themselves to do this.
I wonder if they do and they just want to do this as an experiment.
Maybe. Or their board is just like, nah.
It's like, we could do it, but...
It's like $1 million, guys. Come on. But yeah, no, it was that.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. You had another pick, though?
Oh, yeah, I had another pick. So Konami... is like, we all know Konami's getting out of the games business, and they're gonna do whatever they gotta do. Gambling,
are they though?
Gambling spas.
Are
so
they? Are they?
I don't know. They did just release a brand new Silent Hill trailer, 7 minutes long, for the new Silent Hill patchy slot machine.
Oh.
So, Konami, released a straight up 7 minute trailer explaining gameplay and like all this different stuff for a. For a Silent Hill pachinko machine.
Wow.
And they're only using Silent Hill 2 assets. So it's just Pyramid Head all over the place.
The most popular Silent Hill.
And the internet is aflame.
They're excited, right?
No, they are not. Like, for me, it's no surprise that this happened because they did actually announce like a Contra and a Neo Contra slot machine. So like they're gonna go through their IPs. Like I'm waiting for the Castlevania one and then everyone loses their mind.
Yeah.
Like it's gonna, you get a jackpot and then Dracula's like, what is a man but a miserable pile of secrets? And then you get a bunch of money.
That'd be pretty cool.
Or what if he's a miserable pile of money? And then you get a bunch of money.
Well, you don't get money.
Well, yeah, you don't get money. You get the balls.
Yeah.
And you cash in those balls for stuff. But yeah, so, like, Konami is now officially going down a road. That means we will probably never see another Silent Hill game.
I don't think we ever were going to see another Silent
Hill game. True, true. We almost saw a Silent Hill
game. I didn't believe that.
Oh, I was believing.
And that came out, I'm like, this is not happening. Nope.
After I saw the 7-minute trailer, I went back and I played PT.
Yeah.
And I was like, this still scares the shit out of me.
Okay.
I even know what's happening in the game, and I'm like, this is still scary. But yeah, so if you want a new Silent Hill game, start gambling.
Okay. Well.
And start specifically gambling in Japan.
I think what baffles me is that this trailer is 7 minutes long.
I know, right?
Like, doesn't that take, like, all the fun out of actually playing the machine then?
I guess. Or maybe they're trying to get you to strategize.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Because there is that new law about, like, skill-based gambling being legal soon in Tokyo.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So if they're trying to gamify their slot machines, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that.
We'll see.
Yeah. Being able to win money is... or something is... like, because I'm... Well, I don't know. I guess it's fine. Yeah, sure. Who knows?
Like, I have no doubt it would probably be way stacked against you and super hard. But, like, yeah. Other than just being it by chance, right?
Yeah, yeah. I guess, yeah. I don't know.
It's like, weird. It's weird. It is weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, so yeah, new Silent Hill game. Hot off the presses.
Exciting. Any other picks you guys want to highlight? Nothing?
Nada.
Were any of your personal details leaked?
On AshleyMadison.com?
No, unfortunately, I'm still protected.
No. They didn't target you yet?
No. So apparently, they're releasing this on like a province to province or a state to state basis. Or something like that? Like, I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's hilarious.
It's kind of crazy. Like, there's a lot of news stories of people being, like anonymously going on Reddit and being like, how do I, like, immediately move from the place I'm at? Because there's, like, people in, like, the Middle East where, in their country, being gay is, like, a crime.
The death sentence.
Yeah, it's, like, the death sentence. Yeah, so they're like, that's pretty, I need to leave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something nuts.
Yeah. So, like, on one hand, it's like, oh, this is hilarious. Look at all these cheaters getting busted. And then on the other hand, it's like, all these people are going to die.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the repercussions are pretty real.
Yeah. Isn't this, like, a Christian hacker group who did this?
I have no idea. I haven't really looked into the story. The only thing that's really highlighted to me was that the site has this feature. For $19, you can delete everything on there.
Good. Awesome. That's a good monetary business
move. No, they made millions off of it. Thing is, it didn't actually delete anything. They
kept really?
Your records, and that's what was exposed. And, like, that's the scary bit. It's like, shit.
They just didn't do anything, like, about it.
I mean, no one ever trusts the internet, but now, like, you really don't trust the internet.
If you can't trust a website that's supposed to keep your identity a secret, who can you trust?
Yeah. But, like, damn. Because I don't know if that's, like, some sort of, like... Because that, I think, would just bankrupt the entire company. And
yeah.
Because it's a breach of conduct or something, right? But still, that's something hilarious.
It's crazy and sad.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Blavin, I know what you're probably thinking about, that with the big game story of the week.
Okay.
That Nintendo guy who got fired.
No.
Oh, that guy. That news story is sad.
Oh.
I didn't hear about that, but I did hear that... Kingdom Hearts 3 is going to have Big Hero 6.
Oh, yeah.
Big Hero 6.
That's a pretty cool announcement.
You can fly around on Baymax.
Yeah.
Baymax. B-A-E Max. This is my bay.
Baymax?
But whoa, what happened to the other guy?
Go ahead.
Oh, so this guy was on a podcast called... Can I plug other podcasts on this podcast?
Sure, sure.
It's called Part-Time Gamers Podcast.
Don't listen to them.
Don't listen to them. Don't promote them.
Actually, is it bad?
I don't know.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah.
Okay, go.
But one of the guys, I forget his name. Do you remember his name?
It doesn't matter. So what did he
do? Nintendo Employee 1.
Yeah, Nintendo Employee 1 worked at Nintendo Treehouse, and he mainly worked on localization.
Tell us Nintendo Treehouse.
It's a certain division of Nintendo.
You really want to know what it is?
Yeah.
It's Nintendo's Black Ops division.
Pretty
really?
Much.
Yeah.
Really?
Pretty much.
Like, for game development, like, they're the guys... secret, like, you don't know about them.
Yeah,
seriously, they call it a treehouse.
Yeah, that's they have Treehouse Live during like E3 and stuff, where they show like game demos and things.
Okay, go.
But he works on the localization side, and he helps decide what games get localized and when they translate stuff and all that.
Sure, okay.
And so he went on the Part-Time Gamers podcast, and he kind of went in pretty candid. Like, he wasn't bashing Nintendo, but he was telling about their inner workings, so, like, why certain games get localized, why certain games don't. Like, you shouting, why don't you localize this game? Why don't you want my money? Like, obviously, they want your money, but, like, there's just not the audience for that game you want, right? So you get, like, two people's money and no one else.
Yeah, I think he revealed that, like, Xenoblade Chronicles was a failure.
Yeah, so it was a failure here.
Yeah.
But the thing was that the Europe team took the hit on translation. So the Europe team of Nintendo Treehouse took all the monetary loss to do the translation. Then they brought it over to America with all the British voice acting and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it bombed. But that could have been a multitude of things, too, because they had, like, that exclusive GameStop deal and whatever.
No one cared about that.
Yeah, game. True. But yeah, and so after that podcast came out, pretty much a day or two later, Nintendo's like, yo, dog.
You fired,
son. You're fired. And they just straight up fired him. And then he wrote a blog about how he regrets his decision, and he, like, totally fucked up, and he's failed his family. And he looks at his son and he can't stop crying because he's failed him and he hasn't had a job in 4 years. And, like, all this different stuff.
What do you mean he hasn't had a job in 4 years?
Oh, or he hasn't been without a job, sorry.
Oh, okay.
In, like, 4 years, and he's super scared about what his life has to bring him next.
So the part that gets me is that he was totally, like, blinded by this outcome. Like, he had no idea what was going to happen.
Yeah.
You work for the fucking Black Ops Division and you're going to out their secrets and, like, nothing was going to happen?
Yeah. So, like, people are speculating, like, it. So, usually in those kind of positions, or just if you work for any, like, big public company, if you get invited to do, like, a public type of thing, like, you need to be cleared to do that.
Yeah.
And, like, they can tell you what you can talk about, what you can't talk about. So, people are speculating that he wasn't cleared, and maybe that was grounds for immediate termination. People are saying maybe he had more than one infraction. Like, if this was his only infraction, and then he just got fired, like, that's kind of harsh, but, like, we don't know his previous employment record and stuff, so there's a lot of speculation around the story, but, like, kind of just got outed that, like, Nintendo just, like, cut this guy's head off, pretty much.
It's nuts.
I don't know. I have no sympathy.
Yeah, you know, seriously, like, part of me is,
like
you work for one of the
biggest video
game companies in the world that is very secretive. Like, you know the whole deal with Nintendo.
Exactly.
And you're in the actual Black Ops Division.
Yeah, like, this is your job.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've had some sort of, like, in your training, you know, they must have outlined, like, specifications, and you must, like, when you go to work, you must have to go put, like, 5 passcodes and, like, fingerprint retinal scanners, and you think you could just out this information? Like,
yeah.
Like, it sucks for his family and his current situation, but at least, yeah, he recognizes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Neat. Fun.
Learning new ways of firing people.
Yeah. Keep it in the back.
If we go on another podcast and we out the way this podcast runs,
yeah,
are we gonna get axed?
I mean, I wouldn't.
Sure. Yeah, so this is how the podcast is run. We come to Vince's house and there's free food, snacks, and drinks. Man, what a slave driver.
It's fucking harsh, man. It's fucking harsh. You know?
And Anthony still complains.
I don't complain.
Yo, all the time.
I never complain ever.
Sick,
I'm here for every
Vince,
show.
Why is there no caviar in filet mignon? Like I asked for. And how come I didn't get only green M&Ms, huh?
It was in my rider, alright?
It's funny.
No, really, that's how it rolls.
That's how it actually runs. Not even lying, that's not even
we the show joke. Up and we get food.
Oh, I was talking about the green M&Ms.
Oh, I wish we had green M&Ms. Do we have green M&Ms?
Oh,
no. That's
funny.
We don't. We got Smarties here because it's Canada.
What's that, bro? You get some peanuts M&Ms from the Costco.
We have Smarties here because it's Canada.
Canada.
Smarties are
okay. We have Smarties here because it's Canada.
Are you trying to say we're sponsored by Smarties now? What's happening?
And Coffee Crisp because it's Canada.
Is Crispy Crunch Canadian?
No.
But okay. Crunchyroll is.
No, it's not.
No. All right, let's move into our week, shall we?
Yo.
I'll kick things off. I watched an anime movie called Expelled from Paradise. You guys heard of this?
No.
Is this a different name for prison school?
No.
Okay.
It has nothing to do with that.
Okay.
No, no, no. This came out 2014, November. It might be the best anime movie to do that whole, like, 3D model with 2D textures on top.
Okay.
Because it looks really cool. But the premise is, it's post-apocalyptic. So, the world's a desert.
Of course.
Mad Max style. But humanity have abandoned their bodies. And they upload their conscience...
Consciousness, you mean?
Yeah, consciousness. There we go. That's what I was looking for. Their mind. Into a server located in a satellite in space.
What?
So, you know, like, the hot scene of VR MMOs in the anime?
Yeah.
So this is, like, one step beyond. Like, this is the end result.
Oh, my God.
Where your entire life is now just digitized, and you live in the digital world forever. But some people still choose to remain on Earth. And and the story follows a girl named Angela Blazik.
That's a good name. Yeah. I like that name.
Angela Blazik. And she has to go down to the Earth because they see some sort of threat that could maybe destroy their paradise, their digital world. And so to do this, they like make a body for her.
Okay.
And it's like a real human body, like all based off her original DNA.
Mm-hmm.
And then they make it, they put her mind into it, and they rocket her down to the Earth in this giant ball that turns out to be a giant robot.
Is it the ball from Gundam?
No. Oh, okay. No. But I won't spoil it from there because it's an interesting thing that happens. It's like Gundam meets... Oh, what's the other thing I was going to think of?
Knights of Cydonia.
Oh, I don't know. Like,
Evangelion.
It's tough. I thought it was going to be like an action-based movie, but it's far more about the politics and...
Is it like psychological? Too or no?
No, it just questions like, what is it to be human?
So like Gantz.
Sort of.
All right.
Sort of, and it's Gantz is so bad. And like human rights. Even if you are like, if are you still? It's basically the theme is, are you still human without a body?
Is this on Netflix?
It might be. Expelled from Paradise.
It sounds pretty good. But yeah. Is it on Crunchyroll?
No.
Oh, what?
I don't know if Crunchyroll has movies.
Oh.
They have series.
No, true. The reason I think is because it seems super, super familiar, and I've seen the girl before.
She's blonde with...
Yeah, with green and white.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's on Netflix.
So, obviously, the girl is, like, this half-naked teenage
thing. Yeah,
how anime works, yes.
But they have, like, they have this... It's somewhat contrived, but it's kind of like, all right, I'll let it slide for the reason. She's actually, like, a full-grown woman.
Okay.
Like, she is that old. But... Because the threat comes out of nowhere, to create a body for her, like, it takes a certain amount of time, right?
Yeah.
And she's like, well, we don't have that much time. Cut off 7 hours. She's like, but you won't have the full features of a woman. You'll be stuck as a teenage girl. She's like, whatever. I'll deal.
Oh.
So that's why she's weird. Like, that's why she's a teenager when she arrives on Earth. And it's cool because her whole life she's been in this digital world. So it's what her experiencing, like, what it's like to actually touch things and feel things. And she's never been sick. So she doesn't know what sickness is.
Okay.
She doesn't know what certain tastes are. She doesn't know what the wind is.
Oh, wow.
It's like a lot of things that, like, you just kind of take for granted.
Like, all the wind's here, whatever.
Yeah, and just like, what is that? And yeah. It's like, or heat from fire. Yeah. It's cool.
That's pretty cool.
It's really cool. She also has never experienced fatigue. So, because she's like, she's pretty much like, what's her face? The Major from Ghost in the Shell. Like,
okay.
Like, ultimate badass.
Yeah.
And she becomes an ultimate badass, but halfway through, like, the show or the movie, she gets sick and she gets tired and she can't understand why her body feels heavier and stuff. And, like, what? And then she almost gets, like, destroyed. But she has a partner who saves her, who's obviously Han Solo and who's obviously the greatest character in the movie. All
right.
Yeah, he has, like, a hat and a guitar.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm watching a bit of it right now. It is on Netflix, so... Yeah. Yeah, it looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I can see the 3D and 2D modeling that you're talking about. It's really well done.
It looks really, really... It's probably the best I've seen for that type of style. But yeah, no, it's cool. The other thing I've been doing is I've been playing Call of Duty Black Ops 3.
The beta? Is it open beta now?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Call of Duty Black Ops 3 open beta. Because I haven't played Call of Duty in a while. I was like, I need to shoot something. So
Splatoon, man!
I don't have a Wii U.
Oh,
damn. So I put it in. And Yeah, it's Call of Duty. And
I heard they're using the point systems again.
What's the point system?
So, like, you can, like, not have a sidearm and put have a fourth perk
yes,
or something.
Yes, you can. You can, totally. So, I guess for me, after Modern Warfare 2, I don't feel like that series has really evolved. It's more like multiple sidesteps.
For me, like, I still want to play Advanced Warfare, and I feel like that might have been the next step, but I heard they don't have, like, the exosuit in this game, so, like, there's no, like, jetting around corners, like, Titanfall style.
They have a jetpack, though.
Oh, okay.
Because you can, like, you can boost.
Okay.
So, it's essentially a double jump that you could jump in all directions.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and it's... It kind of works like the Titanfall one, actually.
There's a jetpack in Titanfall?
Yeah, you had, like, the boost.
Oh, okay.
Right? Only the Titanfall one's a lot faster.
Yeah.
And a lot more mobile. This one's, like, bare bones. You want to double jump like Mario? Go ahead.
Can you kill someone by jumping on their head?
No, you can't. Aww. But, I mean... Yeah. But, no, so for me, like, ever since Modern Warfare 2, Call of Duty has felt the same. Like, mechanically, it's felt the same. But they've just replaced different features or whatnot, right?
Mm-hmm.
Black Ops is exactly that. And I was kind of disappointed because I thought there'd be more to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like I'm playing Modern Warfare with a slight tweaking of parts.
Okay.
But at its core, it's the same game. I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but I remember the step from 4 to Modern Warfare 2 was like...
That was huge.
Like, it felt like a different game, yeah. Right? And I think ever since then, Modern Warfare and the subsequent releases, they've all felt like the same game with just different bits here and there. And yeah, that's kind of disappointing to me. But if anything, it just made me realize I fucking love Titanfall.
Titanfall's really good.
And like when it comes to that kind of fast-paced shooter, that I think that's my only choice nowadays. But I mean, Black Ops is fine. It is still very much spawn, die, spawn, die, spawn, die, spawn, die. Unless you go on a streak and then you die. I don't know when they introduced this, but when was it that you could go through all your kill streak rewards?
What do you mean?
You know how, like, when you get 3, you get the UAV?
Yeah.
But then if you wait till 5, then you only have the 5 one and you lose the UAV?
Oh, that might have been 3? Modern Warfare 3?
Yeah, so, like, now if I get to 7, I have the helicopter, and once I use it, I can use the airstrike, and I can use the UAV.
Nice.
So, it's just a constant barrage of killstreaks all the time.
Yeah,
people. And it's really hectic.
Do they still have, like, for Modern Warfare 3, they brought in the, like, defensive ones, so when you die, you keep your streak, and you don't, but they're, like, you don't have an AC-130. Like, you have different support killstreaks?
No, they don't have that.
Okay.
It's just you have your killstreak.
Yeah, and then when you die, you lose your killstreak.
No, it's there. Like, if you mean, like, if I haven't activated
it yet? Say the UAV costs 2, or costs 3, and you've only killed 2 people, and then you die.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah
you don't
yeah,
just kill gone. One more person.
No, it's gone, it's gone. But,
wait, yeah. I know that system you're talking about. That's, like, you save up points.
Yeah, you save up points, and then...
And you still get your streak.
And you still get your stuff.
It rewards you for doing objectives instead of doing... Yeah. I remember that one. I like that one.
That's a good one.
Yeah, no. But it's, it's Call of Duty. It's like a billion guns.
Is there any... Wait, this is, like, full Black Ops series, sorry? Or no?
It's just the multiplayer beta.
I think it's, like, one map.
Okay.
I don't... I'm, like, in the process of downloading it right now.
Call of Duty.
Yeah, I think it ends tonight.
Yeah, I guess I should play it before.
Yeah.
Goes under.
Yeah, I mean, it's... If you like Call of Duty, and if you love Call of Duty, it's Call of Duty. That's all I can say.
Cool.
Yeah. It's, yeah. I'm excited for Star Wars. That's what I'll say.
I wonder if the general populace is tired of Call of Duty yet.
Nope.
No?
Nope.
Still like gangbusters still?
I don't know if it's at the highest that it's ever been, but it's not far off.
Okay. Yeah. Like, I always got why, like, whenever a new Grand Theft Auto got announced, it's just, like, people lining up around the block. But yeah. With Call of Duty, like, a new one gets released every year. And I'm like, people aren't tired of this yet, or...
I think it'll take something major to stop the first-person scene. Like, I think if League ever comes to a console, that's it.
League's a little complicated for a console. Maybe Heroes
that's
of,
what I'm saying.
Maybe if Heroes of the Storm.
If it does.
Yeah.
Like, if they can make that transition, I think it's over for every other game in the world.
It's just MOBAs all day?
No, really.
I just quit video games?
I believe that. And I believe every other genre will be this little niche.
Man, remember JRPGs?
What are you talking about? Those don't ever exist. It's just MOBAs, man. Remember JRP MOBAs? I don't know.
JMOBAs?
Yeah, JMOBAs.
JMOBAs?
Yeah.
Can you imagine that, though? Like, you know, when these kids are in their dorm room, instead of playing just a quick game of COD, they hop into a league queue and, like, sit there for an hour before they go out for drinks.
Oh, man, I missed class again. Ugh.
Oh, man.
I just imagine it's the entire floor in the dorm. Like, the left side versus the right side.
Oh, that's yeah. So sick.
Floor one versus floor two.
Yeah. Oh, sick.
That's what I imagined it would be.
Floor wars.
Yo, whatever. Floor three is closer to the router. They got defs.
But yeah, no, that was my week.
Cool.
Blaven, what's your week like?
So I've been here 2 weeks, but I didn't do much. I bought a new game. I bought Little Battler's Experience.
You bought LBX?
For what?
Yes. Oh, wow.
It came out just yesterday, and I didn't realize that.
And so you were just like, okay.
I was like, all right, whatever. Okay. It's been level 5, right? So I'm like, well, what can go wrong? Apparently people like it a lot, so I can't wait to play it. I forgot all about that show, so I forget all the characters and everything. I've been watching some anime as well. I've been watching Fate Stay Night Unlimited Blade Works, and that's a really long title.
Mm.
I'm currently in the second season, episode like 10 or so.
You're almost there.
Yeah, I'm almost there. And that show is fun. I find that in that show, what I'm more interested in is finding out who people's masters and who the servants are and what their background is. But man, the whole story between, you know, two of the characters who happens to be the same dude, that drags on for quite a while. Like, yeah. 3 episodes even.
So the thing is, like, I think they hint it very early on.
But they don't ever say it.
Yeah.
Near the end.
And then so by the time they reveal it, you're like, okay, we got it.
Yeah, I got it. I'm tired of it already.
Yeah, like, but then they go on for another 2 episodes to explain to you why they are the same character.
Yeah, it's just nuts. But it's fun to see some familiar faces like Saber and Rin and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And just all the past things that I've seen in Fate Zero come to light. I really like the Fate series now. And I think I can't wait to watch the next route. Heaven's Feel or whatever.
Yeah, that's out. I think that's a straight up OVA movie.
Yeah, it's just a movie you said, I think.
Yeah.
Apart from that, I think that's what I spent most of my time doing because I was bedridden, so I just sat there and watched it. Okay. I haven't binged on an anime for so long.
Oh, that's my life.
That's a good time. that is a good time. No wonder you. I was like, when does Vince find time to do this? I'm like, oh, he makes time.
Yeah.
He just cuts out sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's your famous slogan, Vince?
Sleep for the week.
Yeah,
there you go.
Sleep for the week. You can sleep when you're dead.
I've also been playing a lot more Adam Jensen. Oh. And I finally
Punching Simulator.
Yo, I Crouching Simulator.
Punching Simulator.
Yeah, dude. Like again, I keep forgetting that Cancel and Circle are also instant knockouts. So I feel bad for the NPCs that I talk to after finishing their quest. I try to hurry through the conversation and I end up punching them straight in the mouth and then go flying across the room. But that game gets really, really easy when you start getting battery upgrades and you can just cloak for a long time.
Yeah.
And you just walk past enemies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
the parts... Do you still punch them anyway?
Oh, my God.
You just become a god.
Do I ever.
Yeah, you can punch them while you're cloaked and stay cloaked.
But now I don't... Now I really love that they give you so much of the protein bars because it refills your battery.
Oh.
I didn't realize that your last battery that you have doesn't recharge unless you eat a bar.
Yeah, yeah.
To, like, recharge it. So it was just interesting. And I have all the upgrades for, like, mobility. So I can jump high, throw stuff high. Carry heavy things and stuff like that. So that makes it more fun. But, yeah, overall, I'm still enjoying this game. And after this, I think I'm going to move on to finishing Xenoblade Chronicles, then Entry and Odyssey. And then hopefully by then, you know, the PS5 will be out. So
there you go.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's about it. That's all me.
Cool. Anthony?
I finished Yakuza Yakuza Kenzan.
Oh, wow. Good for you.
So, like, after finishing... That game shows its age. Because it is right after Yakuza 3, just before Yakuza 4. Okay. So it's a little bit old at this point. And, like, it doesn't have some of the polish that Yakuza 4 had.
The polish.
Yeah, okay. So the thing that gets me, though, is this is my first time playing through a game with a translation guide. Like before, I've never played through like a Japanese game.
Really? Right? Never? Yeah.
Like just that's straight Japanese, right?
Huh.
And
that's surprising.
The story is really cool in Yakuza Inchin. Like you're Miyamoto Musashi, and you like if you know about Miyamoto's history, like a lot of the storyline kind of is just stock. But like a lot of it's pretty cool, and they throw in like a few little Yakuza quirks up here and there.
Ooh.
But I didn't realize how much of how much enjoyment I lose when I don't understand what's happening immediately. So like what would happen is when a cutscene shows up, like I'll watch the cutscene on the TV, I'll pause the game and I'll go and read what they said. And a lot of the game loses its impact and loses its, I don't know, I guess overall feel. Like when there's a dramatic scene going on, it's like, oh man, that looked super dramatic. Let me go read a plain text file mm-hmm. of what that cutscene was all about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it loses a lot of its impact, and it kind of made the story less enjoyable for me. Even though I know that the story was good,
mm-hmm.
at least to me, I felt it was
good. Yeah, but that's not a new thing for you, right?
What do you mean?
I mean, for some people, that's why they watch dubs of anime.
Oh, like, so even with subs,
yeah.
As long as I'm getting the information when the thing is happening,
mm-hmm.
I still, like, it's still impactful for me.
Okay.
So, like, I have no problem watching subbed things.
Okay.
It's just more so the fact that this whole scene has passed.
Yeah.
And it's been a certain amount of time since the impactful moment, and now I go read it. And then after I read it, it's like, oh, okay, sure.
Yeah.
Right. So it's a little bit disappointing. With that, I immediately started Yakuza Inchin.
Yeah, okay, good luck.
And Yakuza Inchin is also has a translation guide. I should pimp this website. It's called KHH Fan Subs. And this guy is just, like, dedicated. His Yakuza Inchin guide is insane. Goes through all items, all sub-stories. All the items have pictures. Tells you all, like, bonus stuff. It's, like, a complete guide, pretty much, in English.
Wow.
It's really sick.
Wow.
And so that game is where I imagine, kind of 5 will be closer to when it eventually comes out.
Is 5 here? Coming in as a sub?
5 is coming out as a sub, yes.
Okay.
So ever since 2, they've done just subs because 1 was like a colossal failure and they did like dubs on it and then no one bought it. Like I bought it, but and so after that it's just been subs.
Cool.
But yeah, so Inchin, a lot of the gameplay is more streamlined. So like when you get into fights and stuff, there's very minimal delay between the fight and like because usually they load into a different battle screen.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
So now they hide loads in different places and stuff. Crowds gather naturally and all that when you get into a fight.
Cool.
They have a different leveling system where when you use a style more often, you get orbs for that style. And then also when you level up with experience, you get different orbs. And then you can place those orbs in said experience wheel and level them up and get new abilities and stuff. So, like, if you only really use one style, you can just focus all your effort into, like, single sword style.
Neato.
Yeah.
Neato.
And the story of this one is kind of near the end of Samurai time. The British have come over in their black ships. They're introducing new technology, and they're forcing to trade with the Japanese. Or the Japanese are being forced to trade with the British and stuff. So it introduces things like guns. And so in the last game, it was a dual sword style because it was Miyamoto.
Yeah.
And so in this one, they have something called a wild style. So you can have a sword and a gun at the same time. And just different gameplay. And it's a different era of old Japan. So I'm not far enough in the story to really say anything.
Do you plan
than that.
To beat this one before Metal Gear?
No, no. The last game took me like 30 hours to beat.
You got like a week and a bit.
Yeah, but
2 weeks.
I do got Tuesday off.
You got that Tuesday.
I got that Tuesday.
That's 24 hours.
Yeah, just pump out 20 hours.
When you were watching the, when you were playing the one with Musashi, did they fight a guy named Sasaki Kojiro?
Yeah, he's your main. He's your main rival.
Nice.
Yeah. Like so, I've been reading the manga Vagabond, done by the guy who did Slam Dunk. And that's all about Miyamoto Musashi's life. And so there's a lot of it released here. And so I've gone through all the stock stuff. So when I see Sasaki Kojiro, I'm like, oh, yeah, this is the main villain. I know who this is and all this stuff. So it's pretty cool.
Neato.
I like it. I enjoy it. And then I played a little bit of Yakuza 0 just to see what it's like. There's no translation guide for it. So I kind of just did the tutorial stuff.
Is that the newest one?
Yeah, it's the newest one.
Okay.
And that game plays awesome. It's like
is that on PS4?
Yeah, it's on PS4. Oh, Inshin is also on PS4.
Yeah. Oh, that explains the engine upgrades. Okay.
Yeah. But man, Yakuza 0 is sick. Like, I wish there was a translation guide to play that first.
Why would you put that in, man?
Oh, I just wanted to. I wanted to taste. Why would you do that? I wanted to taste.
Because now you're only gonna be thinking about that game.
I got two trophies. I don't even know what for.
Oh, you're a fool.
I thought the animation in Inshin was good, but like everything is properly animated. Like when you're doing a left hook, he puts his whole body into it and stuff. It's not just like stock, like jab, jab.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah, that game looks awesome. And that game is set in the 1980s when Japan had their economic boom. So everyone's just going around spending money willy-nilly.
Yeah.
And how you get upgrades in that game is when you beat people up, you take their money. Because it's the main character as his up-and-coming self in the Yakuza. So he's still a thug. He's not this villain with a heart of gold kind of thing. So he's still like a thug just beating people up, getting money. And you put money into yourself to get new skills.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
He absorbs money. Excellent.
But yeah, man, those Yakuza games, they're real good.
Cool. Anything else?
No.
No?
No.
Nothing?
I don't know if I talked about it. Did I tell you I read Prison School?
Prison School. Is that the one where it's like a school full of girls and five guys? And there's like
four dudes and they all get put in jail in the school.
You're reading that?
I wanted to know what it was about.
Because I know that anime debuted this summer.
Oh, did it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I started reading it.
It's not good.
I don't think it's for me.
That's a weird show.
Yeah, I got like a good 50 chapters into it.
Wow.
And I was like,
I couldn't figure out who it was for, because at first I thought it was like, okay, gratuitous sex stuff, but it's like, but it's not really that.
Yeah, like some of the there's that one character with the glasses.
Yeah.
And she's the butt of every single like gratuitous sex joke.
Yeah.
Right. And they get into like some weird stuff with like urination.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. And then, I don't know.
But then on the other hand, it's like a story about bros being bros until the end of time.
Yeah, but then it's not really about.
But then it's not really about bros, yeah. Right? It's a weird.
So it's like I hope that someone tells me that like at the end of it all links together like with this like mind fuck of a tale. But yeah. I doubt that.
Yeah. I don't think that series is good. Like my Twitter pretty much, because I follow like Funimation, I follow like all the anime providing services. And when people are like, oh, I love X anime, they'll retweet it. So all I ever see is like, oh, I love the new chapter of Prison School. I love the new episode of Prison School. And I'm like, what is this? I'm like, this is terrible. Why are...
Wow.
So, not for me.
Yeah.
Maybe it's for someone.
Maybe. Maybe.
Okay, that's it.
No. For real. I have to enlighten you guys with one story.
Tell me.
So
is it biking time?
No. You want to hear about biking time?
No.
Okay. So, we all know what the TNAB YouTube channel is like, right?
It's dead. It's a wasteland.
Yeah, but we know what the Type V3 channel is like, right?
Oh, it's an oasis. It's a paradise. We got exiled from paradise. That's what we got.
Yeah. And we all know the most common question on or comment is on the
where the Gunpla reviews.
Where the Gunpla reviews at.
Yeah.
So, this past week, I think I told this last week. This past week, I've been putting up toy reviews again, right?
Yeah.
And on every toy review I put up, it's, where's the Gunpla reviews?
Yeah.
Because I'm not doing that. Put up one Gundam review.
Of a stray red frame.
I did. Guess what the first comment was?
Finally!
Nope.
Where
the other reviews
at? Yes! Where are the other Gundam reviews? And I was like, these people cannot be pleased!
Where are the other Gundam reviews? Yeah.
That's so funny.
Why didn't you review this one?
Oh my god, that's actually amazing.
So I guess I made the mistake of putting like for like a size comparison. I pick whatever's closest to me, so
yeah,
I could put more things in the frame. And one of them was like a brand new kit that I just finished snapping together. So I put it in the frame, and all the questions were, "Where's the review for that Gundam?" I'm just like, what the fuck, man? What the fuck?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's real funny.
Yeah.
It's really funny.
Man, I'm glad we're not on that channel anymore. Jeez.
But yeah, that's my YouTube story of the week.
That's good stuff. Mm. Linda, YouTube is a messy place.
Oh yeah,
it's like a Wild West up in there. Uh-huh.
I don't know if there's a bug on that site right now, but I've had on more than one occasion now of like one dude, and they're different users, but
yeah.
They would just be like, "Where's the Gunpla review?" Blah blah blah. But they would post it 10 to 15 times in a row.
Oh, okay.
Like on one video.
Yeah.
And,
is there not, like, a time limit for you to comment on things, or...
And I couldn't tell if it was a bug, but then when, like, multiple different people started doing it, I was like, okay.
No, this is just a thing.
This is a thing, and... Yeah.
You start selling it to the masses?
I'm gonna have to, man.
You gotta make that YouTube money!
Gonna have to. Gotta pay off my student debt somehow, right?
I know, right? Oh.
Anyways, yeah, that's it. Anything else you guys want to highlight?
No, that's it.
Just waiting for Gundam reviews, you know?
Just get on it, right?
Just refreshing the page.
It's like still not there. Figma, no. Figure Arts, nah.
Yeah, yeah.
Chugoken, ew.
Don't worry. I'll get to work.
Where's my super action statue reviews?
Oh, fuck that. Go away. Yeah, but you can find us on the Facebook. We're on Twitter, YouTube at TNIB on YouTube, 3 Nerds of Derasement. Anything else you guys want to plug? Anything?
No. Well, Vince put up a new Gundam review. You guys can check that out.
Totally.
Yo, when are you reviewing the 3A Metal Gear Rex?
Never.
What about the Metal Gear Ray?
Never.
Do it or I'll unsubscribe, please.
PLZ.
No.
Okay, thanks, bye.
I looked at those at Big Bad Toy Store. And they're still in stock.
For what?
The Metal Gear?
The Metal Gears.
How much?
Like $370.
Oh, God. Get it.
If you have $400, I know someone who's wanting to get rid of his. He lives in Toronto.
No, it's if I have... Wait, 300?
400.
If I have Canadian. 800, oh, if I have $800. Oh.
Why?
Because I want to buy both.
Why? Oh, shit.
Because I want Ray and Rex.
Shit.
400 CNDs.
Yeah, lives in Toronto. He's been trying to get rid of it. I don't know why I'm trying to sell you this on the air, but whatever. Thanks for listening to the 3 Nerds in the Basement podcast.
Hey, Vince's friend. Don't say Vince never did nothing for you.
Does no one want it? Oh, we gotta stop talking about this. Yeah. No, just end the show. Alright, see you later. Peace.
Next week. Bye.